sure looks like Saab's days are numbered.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The Swedish carmaker Saab says it doesn't have enough money to pay employees. Production there has been halted for a few months already because it couldn't pay suppliers. And it seems like a deal with a couple of Chinese firms is a little too late. Jay Nagley is managing director of the consultant firm Red Spy Automotive. He's with us from London. Hi, Jay.
Hi.
So if I wanted to buy a Saab, do I need to do it, like, very fast?
Well, there'll be plenty in stock from unsold Saabs in the past, but make sure you get a great discount because there isn't a huge demand for a car company that's going bust.
Did Saab put too much reliance on Chinese firms trying to save it?
Well, China is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Every car company that's in trouble goes to China thinking they can get a few hundred million to keep themselves going. Kind of once they arrive in China and start doing the rounds, you think, that's a bad sign.
Saab used to advertise having been born from jet engines. I remember that. And the company, of course, famously had high standards of engineering. So why couldn't it make itself a success?
In a sense, it wasn't allowed to. When General Motors bought it, the bean counters in Detroit said, oh, look at the money we could save if we used Opel platforms from the other parts of the GM empire and put Saab bodies on top. And people turned around and said, why would we pay premium prices for a mass-produced General Motors car with a different body when we can buy a genuine premium car from Mercedes or BMW or Audi?
So how much time do we have with Saab?
I think we're talking weeks rather than anything longer. It's a bit like a wounded animal. You keep looking at it and think, oh, it's still moving.
Wow. Jay Nagley, managing director of the consultant firm Red Spy Automotive. Jay, thanks.
Thank you.
A life-saving group in Australia has trademarked the word lifeguard. All-volunteer Surf Life-Saving Australia says it wants any profits from the word to go to genuine life-saving activities. But as Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney, the move has set up a showdown with the country's paid lifeguards.
At Sydney's popular Bondi Beach, the word lifeguard is practically everywhere, from T-shirts and swimsuits sold in the shops to the rescue equipment on the beach. The country's largest life-saving organization wants a cut of that action, trademarking not only lifeguard, but several other phrases like surf patrol and beach patrol. But John Andrews of the rival Australian Professional Lifeguard Association says the move will end up hurting them.
We've already had one sponsor who's unable to continue with us because of being frightened about using the word lifeguard on some of the apparel that's been marketed by them.
In Australia, lifeguarding is big business. Corporate sponsors spend lots of money to have their logos plastered across everything from rescue helicopters to lifeguard uniforms. Copyright law professor Michael Fraser says the trademark would be unlikely to survive a challenge.
If terms like that can be trademarked, words that are used on every beach in Australia, well, then I might try to trademark the word help and charge people a license fee when they call out from the water.
City councils that employ professional lifeguards are reportedly already consulting their attorneys. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are lower right now. Blame it on Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, whose latest comments about the U.S. economy were a bit more dour than past assessments. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 80 points to close at 12,109.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, for nearly 90 years committed to innovation in diabetes care. Learn more at novonordisk-us.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance. Trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at Farmers.com.
The NBA draft is tonight, and the Cleveland Cavaliers get first dibs. The Cavs have struggled on the court and in the stands since their superstar LeBron James split for Miami. But with a top name coming, some see the team's financial fortunes getting a little better. From station WCPN in Cleveland, Eric Wellman reports.
Last July, when LeBron James uttered those now infamous words,
"In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach."
He not only took his talents to South Beach, he also took a quarter of the team's value, more than $80 million, according to Forbes magazine. The Cavs dispute that figure, but it's clear that not all is well in Cavs land. In 1 year, the team went from having the best record in the league to one of the worst, and toward the end of this season, there were a lot of empty seats in the arena. The Cavs declined to talk specifics, but they insist there has been no steep drop-off in ticket sales for the upcoming season. Still, it was not hard to find a disgruntled season ticket holder.
There were a lot of games you just went to and you thought this was ridiculous.
Attorney Irv Berliner has had season tickets since the 1970s, but he's decided to drop two of his four seats, saving $12,000. He says clients just aren't interested in going to games anymore.
While in the LeBron years, I could call somebody and say, we're playing the worst team in the world, and it's at 3 a.m. and it's a snowstorm, and people would go, that's okay, I'll come. Now I could say, we're going to play the Celtics, and it's 7 o'clock on a Wednesday, and they'd go, I'm kind of busy.
If fans aren't going to the games, they're also not buying as much team merchandise. Nate Cannell is the regional manager of the sporting goods chain Cardboard Heroes.
As expected, things weren't exactly up to par with the previous seven seasons.
But there are signs that things might be turning around for the Cavs. In the month since they locked up two of the top five draft picks, they sold more than $2 million in tickets. Tad Carper is Senior Vice President of Communications for the Cavs.
The team still ranks in the top tier of the league across numerous business platforms.
So far, the Cavs have been hush-hush about who they plan to pick in the first round of tonight's draft. Irv Berliner, the season ticket holder, says he wants to see improvement before he gives the team any more money. In Cleveland, I'm Eric Wellman for Marketplace.
And finally, from the woeful Cavs to the champion Mavs, as in Dallas Mavericks. Ross Perot Jr. owns a scant 5% of the team, but last year sued majority owner Mark Cuban, saying he so badly managed the team it should be put into receivership. Cuban's attorneys yesterday told the judge the case should be dropped, and in their four-page court filing included a big picture of power forward Dirk Nowitzki, hoisting the NBA championship trophy they won just a couple of weeks ago. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Say you want to start a business in Dubai. You've got two options. You can partner with a local who will control 51%, or put yourself in a free zone where...
if you're going to be making $1 million, you're not going to be taxed on $1 million.
Easy choice, right? I'm Kai Rizdal, bridging the gap between one country's two economies. The story next time on Marketplace. The day's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.